What I'm going to do is share the honor of worship with you with two of our students, and they're going to share their testimonies also. My testimony can be wrapped up in experience that I did not share with you last time I was here. It's a very personal experience. And about 6.5 years ago, I almost lost my wife, Sandy. And Sandy, we've been married 20 years. And she is a lot of you. How many of you have witnesses? Why you're in church today is because someone else led you to Christ. A pastor, a relative, all of us are, right? Even our children can lead us. And when I met Sandy 22 years ago, I wasn't a non-believer. Even though I grew up in a quote-unquote Christian home, but the problem with my home that I grew up in, the Christians didn't treat each other as Christians. So I was very skeptical about, even though my grandfather had been a minister, he was a good example for me. He was my father figure. He was my mentor. But it was not until I met that special person that God led into my life. Sandy Hendrickson. And I always asked her, why, what makes you the strongest Christian I've ever known? And she says, it was the 3 years she spent at Thunderbird Adventist Academy as a sophomore, junior, and senior. Our teenagers are at that age that they decide if they're going to follow Jesus by our example. My family could not afford to send me to a private school. I went to a public school. So many of us are Christians here, even though we never went to a private Christian school. But as I grew up, knowing what I had to go through and my challenges, my questions, I decided that if I ever had children, I would do my best to afford to send them to a Christian school. I wasn't an Adventist yet. Then Sandy comes along and shares with me a scripture that's right after what Trey read for us in Luke chapter 6, verses 46 through 49. So you can read that with me if you like. Luke chapter 6, verses 46 through 49. But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who has dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. So my sermon basically is treat each other as Christians. That's all we have to do. So as Sandy, we found out after she had her, she came to my office one day when I was in New Mexico college there, and her right leg was involuntarily moving like this, just like this, involuntarily. And she's crying, and we had a Saturn, which is a stick shift, and she could barely drive. I says, I think something's wrong with me. I said, yeah, I think something's wrong. Something's going on there. And that's not normal. And she does crazy things sometimes. I thought she was playing a joke or something. I said, no, okay. So I took her over to emergency, and she was having a stroke. No symptoms prior to that. Low cholesterol, strong heart from her mom and dad, just the healthiest person I've ever known. And then we found out after they did all the testing that she had a small little hole in her heart that she was born with. So all the times her parents would take her up to the Grand Canyon, higher elevations or whatever, to the mountains, 12,000 feet because they were near Colorado, Sandy would always get these headaches because she was not getting enough oxygen due to the lack of you know, the higher elevation. And her parents would just say, toughen up, you can make it. But all these years, she had a hole in her heart. So God led us to Scottsdale Healthcare, where she has been employed now for several years. And they have a doctor there that does the patch over the hole in the heart, laparoscopically, no open heart surgery needed. Have any of you heard of that? Yeah, I was up in Flagstaff doing a sermon about 6 months ago, and we talked to some of the members that actually work at the lab up there that create the netting. After she had her hole taken care of, she had more energy. But I remember what she told me just before I had to wait for her after the procedure. It was a $50,000 procedure. But fortunately, she's an employee of the hospital, so I only had to pay $5,000, which was helpful. But it was a very special, unique surgery. And I said, you're going to make it through this. And she has such strong faith. She says, I've loved my years with you. And our daughter and our son have been a blessing to us. Please take good care of them if I don't make it. But don't be sad if I don't, because Jesus is coming soon. And I will be with you again. And you won't have to put up all with this sin and everything that happens in this world. Didn't make me feel any better at that time. But it made me also believe that every day we have a choice, and every moment we have a choice, whether to have grace or to react like a human being. And I think at Thunderbird Academy, we have mostly grace. We are human beings. Everyone makes mistakes. But when I earned my master's in leadership from Grand Canyon University several years ago, and I took on this responsibility a year and a half ago. So, oh, great, I'm going to be able to apply my master's in leadership and lead some youth to Jesus. You know what? The past year and a half has been the most humbling experience, because our youth have been witnesses for me to make my faith stronger. And as parents, Sandy and I have decided the best investment we can make is in our children's eternal salvation. Because I know when Jesus comes back, Heather, my daughter, 16, she's over at Acro Fest, and they're doing Acro this weekend in Tennessee, and my son Hayden, they're going to be ready to want to spend eternity with Jesus. Because through the help, hopefully of their parents' example, most of the time, but through a Christian education, it's been all about it, what they've been developing. So what I want to do here is share the podium with two of our students. First, Max Teo, and he's going to share a little bit about his life and his views of God.
As Ted said, I am Max. I think I've been here a couple times. My dad's actually a pastor. His name is Pastor Jeffrey Teo. So I have some familiarity in here. Anyways, let's start this off with a little prayer. Dear Lord, please help me speak through you. Amen. All right. I'm going to start off with this. I am a sinner. There's nothing I can do to change that. Throughout my life, I've been questioning this God. So, if there was an auction stage here, just like a little platform, above this platform, I would put God there. And I would be asking this one question. Who am I to you? You see, since I'm a sinner, since I've been taught that I was a sinner, from the beginning of my life to this point right now, that doesn't make me feel very good. And this God that they've been teaching me about is this thing that you can't see, you can't feel, you can't physically put God right there. They say that God is a being that is great, that is big, that is way more than us, that we can understand. That's why we can't see him, right? But as a teenager, I've always questioned, who is God? Well, if you go back to just general, God is not a singular person. God is three different individuals: the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Each is a very important part in life. Like, from birth, you need a father. Father to chastise you, to tell you what to do, to mold your image so that you can be better than what he was. So, in a sense, in the beginning was your dad. From your life, your parents, your dad and your mom were there. They took care of you. They were there for you. When you struggled, when you were incapable of feeding yourself, of thinking for yourself, they were there for you. I think that is the Father. In my life, I've experienced what a father is through my dad. And I think through my life, it's only been, you only know what you've learned. So you can't express love unless you know love. And you experience your love through your father. Even in the Bible, if you go back to the Bible, God the Father, God was from the beginning, guiding his people, guiding the Israelites all the way to the New Testament. He was there. He showed them love, even though it might be in different ways, even though it might have hurt the Israelites, even though they asked why. I've asked why. That's why, that's the first part of God. Second part is Jesus, God the Son. The Son, we'd like to see him as the whole image of God, but you have to consider the others. God the Son, Jesus. See, Jesus is not just a kind, loving person. Jesus knows when to be serious. He knows when it's a time to be funny. I believe that God, in general, has humor. I mean, he gave us this sense of humor, so we should be here laughing with God. I mean, people talk about heaven, the requirements for heaven, everything to get to heaven. But once we get to heaven, what is there? People are like, oh, God, don't come yet, because I still want to do this. I still want to do this. God, please don't come yet. I still haven't had a family. When God, the Bible says that heaven is unimaginable. So then, generally, heaven should be fun. Everything that we haven't learned, anything that we have questions on, everything that is unknown to us is in heaven. So heaven isn't this thing where you just sit there and just talk with God for eternity. This thing is where we get to know God. Heaven, for me at least, heaven will be fun. Unimaginably fun. More fun than I've ever had in my life. And since I'm a teenager, I don't know much about life, but I've helped other people, and other people have helped me through my struggles. And through this, I've learned what despair is, what pain is, but you can look at the negative, but you can also look at the positive. All this fun, all this love, all this caring. God, the Son, is not just kind. God, the Son, is fun. God, the Son, knows when it's a time to be serious. So, if we look at our perfect example, Jesus, he would be on that pedestal too. There would be God the Father, then there would be Jesus. Like Gandhi said, I like your God, I don't like your Christian. Why doesn't he like our Christians? Because we don't follow Jesus. If we want to, the Bible shows us what Jesus was like. Jesus was caring, Jesus was loving, but also he knew when to put his foot down. What I'm learning as a high school student is how to put my foot down, how to stand up for my belief, how to know when it's the time to stand up for my faith, not to just sit back and let someone else dominate over me. But from God the Son, I've learned that love comes in many forms. I can love you as a brother. I can love you as a friend. And love is way more than what we can think. To me, there is no definition of love. You can't describe love in a few words. Love is more than that. So then, now you have God the Father, which teaches you your fundamentals, which teaches you your core. You have God the Son, which teaches you how to love, how to be more compassionate, more standing, more independent. Now you have God the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit has, will, and is still with us. God the Holy Spirit is more like not this rushing force that pushes you towards one direction, not this great being that compels you to do something. This Holy Spirit, this thing, this part of God is just this quiet sound, this quiet conscience that tells you that He loves you, that tells you that since He loves you, He wants you to go in this direction. Now, it's your choice. That's what makes us different. That's what makes us human. To be human is to be able to choose. To choose whether we will go God's way or we'll go our way. Now, since we're human, we don't know everything. Since we're human, we make mistakes. But that's also the joy of being human. Since we make mistakes, we can get up or we can choose to stay down. It's up to us. And since it's up to us, we can go high up above the mountains in stature, in physically, mentally, spiritually. I mean, if we have the faith of a mustard seed, we can move mountains. But you have to take in consideration that since it's a mustard seed, it starts off small, but it grows big. And since it's so small, we can start off with that smallness. It doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, how naive, how many times you messed up. Because I've messed up a lot, because I am a sinner. I'm not perfect. I'll admit that straight out. I am human. So I need guidance. And with that guidance is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will always continue to be there. No matter how many times I mess up, no matter how many times I've given up, no matter how many times I've fallen down, the Holy Spirit's there to pick me up whenever I need it. What's the only requirement? I have to ask. I have to believe that God will be there to catch my fall. So when I fall down, do I stay down? Or do I get back up? Not just by myself, but with God. Because what I've learned is that if I try to do it myself, I'm not going to get very far. If I try to do it myself, I'm not going to do something great. But that tiny faith starts with a little bit of faith, a little bit of hope. That tiny belief that I can actually do something can change the world. So if I were to put God up on a pedestal, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, if I were to put Him up on a pedestal and ask, who are you to me? I would go on for hours and hours. Because I may not have lived here a long time, but all the years that I've lived on this earth, God has been with me. From birth, I was facing the verge of death. I was a miracle child. I almost died in the hospital. So from birth, I was indebted to God because God saved my life. Now, of course, I get lost along the way. I was in the church my whole life, and yet I didn't feel God. I was taught all God's teachings. I was taught what Jesus did. I was taught what the Israelites did, what Jesus did for the Israelites, how he provided for them, and yet I still didn't believe. From a little age, I was just like, oh, what was that? God fed 5,000 people? That's cool. What has God done for me? I mean, I'm a five-year-old on this earth, and I'm just sitting here in school, learning about addition. What has God done for me? As time goes by, I have seen pain. I have seen chaos. I have seen death. And it's not pretty. And there are times when I ask, is there really a God? But then there are times when I see God actually work. There are times when his love prevails, when he shows me he's there. Sometimes I'm too ignorant to see it. I'm not perfect. There's two things. There's a man here, and there's a man here. With the man here, you go all over the world. You show him all the chaos, all the destruction, all the wars, all the plagues, all the death, all the pain, all the hurt. What do you think he'll say? Why would there be a God that would make all this? Why would there be a God that influenced all this chaos? Why? But if you put this man over here and you show him the world, you show him all the great creations, all the highest mountains, all the biggest trees, the deepest and the depths of the ocean, all the animals that live, all the animals that will live, all the humans that coexist, everything, all the happiness, all the family. And if you show him that, you can see clearly that someone with power made this intricate design. Because we are all intelligent and we are all powerful in our own ways. So, before I get off this podium, if you were to put God on a pedestal, who would he be to you?
You can see why the past year and a half working with these youth, I've learned more from them than I probably have been for them, but it's a blessing. The next speaker here is Marco Valos. He has been traveling the past year with me to a lot of the churches here in Arizona, and he has an incredible testimony. And I think if anyone, I think emotion is part of feeling God. Jesus was emotional. He wept. This young man embodies a connection to Christ through his experience here as well as his emotion. And he's a fine young man and been a good witness to me. So here's Marco.
Hello. I'm sorry, I get really nervous every time I'm going to talk. It doesn't matter if it's a group of five people, I'll get really, really nervous. I would like to start by reading the verse from Ecclesiastes 1:2. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. You know, the word vanity in this verse, when it's translated from the original language, it doesn't only mean vanity. It can mean foolishness. It can mean nonsense. Ecclesiastes here was saying, everything is a nonsense. Everything is just a desire. Everything is just just foolishness. Everything is just stupid. When we read Ecclesiastes, we realize that whoever wrote this was a very depressed person. When you actually read it, and he says, I went from being the greatest king to realizing that everything I had was pointless. And he says that he was seeking for wisdom for a long time, and apparently his wisdom was pointless. So he must have been through a very difficult stage in life when he wrote this book. Some people believe that it was Solomon, the one who wrote it. Some others say it might not have been Solomon because of some of the stuff that says. Whether it was him or not, it doesn't really matter. You see, this passage, this book appeals to me a lot because I think we all get, especially during our teen years, we all get to that point when we think that everything is just pointless and when we're looking for a sense in life. You see, I grew up in Mexico, the city of Tijuana, Baja California. Some of you might have heard it as named as Tijuana. It is right across the border of San Diego. I grew up in churches over there are very different to me than they are over here. You see, I grew up in a church where you will not have a cross like you guys have it. I mean, to us, there is no problem with having a cross, right? It represents Jesus Christ. It's just a decoration. I grew up in a church, and not only one church, many other churches that will say we should not have a cross because that is a symbol. So I grew up in a conservative setting, in a conservative environment, and I'm going to tell you, I do not regret it at all. I loved it. But there was a problem with that. My life became mostly about the rules rather than the ruler. I was stuck on the fact that I couldn't kick a ball during the Sabbath. So, you know, the Sabbath doesn't become a fun day. The Sabbath is not a day you're waiting for. The Sabbath is the day you want to get through. Because it was the day that my mom will be mad in the morning because I didn't want to wake up. Now, keep in mind, we have to go early to school and then waking up early on Sabbath. And I'm not saying it's all bad because I did have awesome experiences there. I remember going to church at 5 a.m. because prayer started at 5 a.m. We'll be done at 6, and I had to go back home, and then come back at 8. But it was amazing. And I'm not just talking about a walk on the street. I'm talking about sometimes walking on mud. I'm talking about walking through where the gangs will meet. I'm talking about walking through a empty lot where they had found dead bodies before. And yet, I did it because I loved it, and I loved God, but I wasn't loving him the right way. Now, you might wonder, is there a right way to love God? Maybe there is, but it wasn't the right way I was supposed to be doing it. Let me explain that. You see, as I told you, I got so into the rules that I completely put aside, and I was never taught the fact that it is the relationship with God what really matters. So I grew up in that setting, and as I said, I had incredible experiences, but I did never really have a relationship with God. I knew he was there. He was controlling my life. I was going to church, but I left aside the fact that it's a relationship what I needed. When I was born, I was sick. The doctors told my mom that I wasn't very likely to live. My mom had left the church for a bit before I was born. And she told God, if you save my son, I promise you I'll go back to church. Not only did she go back to church, she took me into the church. And it was amazing. You know, I never knew that until I listened to her talking with the pastor one day. And I realized how important I was in her life. And how important
my life was. Because I wasn't just born. I was born and I was about to die, and yet I still continue with lots of lung problems. Many times I had, it wasn't asthma, but it was treated as asthma, but it was even worse. And many times I had attacks, many times I couldn't breathe. Sometimes I would choke at night with my own mucus that was coming down my throat, and I would puke it, and, you know, I would be scared. But thanks to God, all that is gone. And, you know, sometimes people tell me, well, you see, you should have an inhaler with you, because sometimes, you know, you never know when it's going to come back. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't do it because, first of all, I don't want to spend money on that. Secondly, I don't think I need it because I'm pretty sure it's never going to come back. So I moved to the U.S. about 3 years ago. We weren't sure whether we were going to stay or not. We came on vacation, and I've been here for 3 years on vacations. We came here unsure. My mom hadn't seen my aunt, in 10 years since they left. And we come here, we were living with them, and we were more than welcome to stay there, but it was up to us. And we weren't sure. By the time I realized it, I was in the school office signing the papers, and they were deciding my classes, and they were like, all right, we're going to put you in math and PE, because you mostly don't need English for that. I didn't speak English back then. And then they say, well, then you are just going to have English classes, all of the other classes. So I had about 4 English classes a day, and PE and math. And you see, I love the school system. The schools are obviously very different from Mexico than to the U.S. I had never seen a school that's actually just one big building. It's an indoor kind of thing. Schools in Mexico don't tend to be one big building. They are classroom, but they are outdoors. Kind of like TAA is, actually. So, you know, I loved it. It was awesome. And they had pizza for lunch, which was incredible, you know. I love pizza. That's a fact that you guys should remember from me. I love pizza. You know, so I loved it. But here was the thing. I spent most of my lunch breaks or on recess, I don't know what's the difference, actually. I spend it alone, or I spend it with my friend, but we didn't really talk about many things, you know. We were just hanging out together because he didn't speak English either. And I'm not gonna lie, I spent a lot of time using the computer, whether it was after school in my Mr. Garcia's classroom, he was my English teacher, or at the Scottsdale Public Library. And, you know, I was getting so into music through computers, or just other stuff that I will do on the computers, that I was staying away from what real life was. I didn't really want to know about it, because I was going from the transition from being a little kid into starting to grow and starting to realize life is more than it seems to be. You see, the thing is that when we are little kids, we don't realize how hard things actually are. I remember when I used to go to the vacation Bible school, VBS. You know, it was so fun to do it. But when it was my mom's turn to organize it, I realized how hard and how stressing it is to get everything set up. I realized how hard it is to, you know, make sure you have the people that will help you and is willing to do it every single day of the week. So that was like my introduction into the real world. And when I moved here, you know, I wasn't very active at church anymore. My spiritual life kind of went down every time deeper. But I started to get involved with the multimedia department at the church. I helped with the cameras. You know, I like to tell people that it was like when you get a job. I started by doing the least important camera, basically, to now I'm doing the titles. So whenever you see the names of people on the TV, that's me. Now I do the sound. So, you know, I was going, I was stepping up, and I like doing that. And what I like about it is that I could get to be there watching the sermon. Plus, I'm working. I'm putting the names, or I'm putting the address phone number. So I was paying attention to the sermon while I was doing a ministry. And it doesn't seem like, but you know, there's many people who calls and they are like, you know, I might not go to church, but I would like to visit because it seems so amazing when I'm watching it on TV. This year, I believe it was, or was it last year when you asked me to? I think it was like a year ago. I don't remember. It doesn't really matter. I was sitting, yeah, it was a year ago because I was sitting in band playing flute. I don't play flute anymore. That's why I remember that it was last year. And I get a note, sticky note, put on my folder. And it says, go see Mr. Baldwin after band. I was like, what did I do? Every single time I used to get sent to the principal's office or to the office, it was because I did something. So I was like, oh my goodness. And then I was like, this better not be about finances because I got no money. So I sit in his office and he's like, hi, Marco, how are you? I'm like, what did I do? And he's like, nothing. You know, I'm trying to imitate sort of the way he acts. And, you know, I will never have guessed that the recruiter of TAA will have become one of my friends. I didn't even know he existed. I will used to see him walking around campus sometime, and we'll be like, who's that guy over there? Oh, that's Heather's dad. Oh, Heather. Who's Heather? The tall chick. Oh, sorry. And it was so amazing. You see, it all started because he asked somebody else. So I wasn't even the first option. He asked somebody else, but that person said, no, I cannot go translate for you. So he was like, let's look at what other Hispanics we have here. And they were like, oh, Marco Veloz. So he asked me to translate for him. It was actually about Ben Carson, too. And I didn't say no because of multiple reasons. First of all, because I've been taught that whenever they ask you to participate in church, you say yes. Secondly, because I was going to be at the same church at the same time, so I couldn't say no. He was going to see me there. There was no excuse I could make up. So, you know, it was a little hard, but it was fun to translate. After that day, we went to Tucson. We went to, where else? I don't even know. We've been all over the state. We've been to plenty of churches, and there's still many other churches we need to go. And it was just such a changing thing. Because every time that I'm feeling down in my spiritual life, he shows up and he's like, hey, Marco, are you available next week? And I'll be like, yes, sir. And then I think about it, and it makes me think of, you know, it makes me think of my life. And it really gets me thinking, and I'm like, you know what? I'm messing up. And I get to come here and tell my testimony. And it's great because my life kind of comes back. So now let's get a little deeper into my life. As I said, you see, my father and my mom separated about, what was it, 4 or 5 years ago. You know, at first I didn't really mind it because I said it is better than them arguing all the time. It is better than, you know, my dad just sitting in the house without working. And you see, I love my dad. I love him. Some people criticize him because he doesn't send us money or because he doesn't work, stuff like that. But I'm like, yes, but when he had money, he gave us more than we would have expected. And he gave his friends a lot, too. He's a very giving person when he has. And I love that man. And this late years, realizing the fact that I'm also actually missing my father, you know, it really has an impact. There's this math teacher at TAA called Miss O. And she has become part of my list of friends too. I don't even remember how did I even start talking to her. It was one day after school when I was showing her my drawings. I like to draw a lot of landscapes, mountains, stuff like that. So I set them up on a table. I've drawn some other stuff, but they're not really that good. And I set them up on the table, and she comes back in, and she's like, oh, you have like an art gallery. And I'm looking at them, and I started tearing up. I started crying. And she didn't say anything. She just touched my shoulder, and I was like, I never realized what these drawings are. And she's like, what are they? And I was like, they are my emptiness. You see a river, you see a mountain, you might see trees, you see sun, you see planets, but you don't see any human. You don't see anything that you will think is moving because it represented my loneliness and my emptiness. And after that day, whenever I'm in trouble or whenever I just need to talk to somebody, I go up to her. Last week I was talking to her again about some problems I'm having. And you see, these are blessings that I will not have received if it hadn't been because I went to TAA. I was so alone during my freshman year. And I'm going to admit, I didn't want to go to TAA because public school is awesome, right? And I was trying to convince my mom. I was telling her, all these pastors telling you about you know, how they didn't have to pay anything for their school. I'm like, you know how many others did have to pay stuff? You know how many others didn't have the money and they had to leave? But, you know, she was like, nope, you're going. And I was like, I don't want to go. And she was like, I don't care what you want. You're going. And it was the best thing that she has forced me to do besides eating my vegetables. It was the best thing she's forced me to do. And I'm going to admit, sometimes I myself are very rude on the way I criticize the school. Some other times I'm like, it's awesome. But here's the thing. This school is more than a school. This school is a whole community. It's like a big church where we learn more than Bible. And if there's something that I love about this school is that they offer one thing that I could not show my mom that the public school offered, and that was Bible classes. You see, I remember public school has this, or at least the one I went to, group called Young Life. Excuse me. Young Life is a Christian group for youth, but the word Christian is not in it because it's a public school. So they will have it during lunch. The first time I went, I didn't even know what it was. My friends were, dude, there's pizza. I was like, dude, let's go. And we're there, and they're talking about God. And I'm talking about boxes of pizza that went from the floor all the way here. And there were like three rows or something like that. So I love that place. And they will be like, just take one, please. And we'll grab like five slices and run away. But that was something that kind of kept me thinking about God a few times when I was in public school. But now that I go to TA, I actually think about God almost every day. And I realized something that really had an impact in my life. Whenever I commit my life to God, my life starts getting better. I start catching up with my homework. I start, you know, just doing way better. But whenever I forget about praying or I'm just putting excuses, I'm too tired. And I'm going to admit it. I've done it this last weeks. I've been like, yeah, I'll pray, but let me take a shower first. And I'm like, I don't know, I'm too tired for this. And, you know, stuff like that. And then I start going bad again. I start doing horrible. And I realized, you know, because sometimes I'm doubtful. Sometimes I'm like, is God really here or not? And sometimes I wish I could be God to slap myself and be like, I'm here. You haven't seen me? Like, he has done so many things these last few years that it's just a whole list that I don't even think I have time to tell you. But here, let me tell you, it's, when I went to TA in my sophomore year, it was a whole change. And I started praying, and I wanted to commit my life to God because, I'm not going to lie, I was doing it out of jealousy. Good jealousy, we could say, because I remember I will see some classmates talking about how they had experiences with God, and I will see some classmates that were very committed to God. And I was like, why can't I have that experience? Why I haven't feel that? Why, if you're there, you do not let me feel you? And I remember one night, I was, you know, this was like after months of praying, and maybe there was not an answer. I just felt he was there, but I didn't see an answer in my life. And I was sitting outside the place we were living. I was sitting on the car, and I was looking at the stars, and I was telling him, why don't you, you know, why did I lose my father? Why did we went from having a nice house to living in this that is supposed to be a small garage where we can't even walk? Why is it that my life is going so bad now if you're supposed to be there? And the most amazing thing happened. I heard this voice on the back of my head that called me Ariel. That's my middle name. And I say, what? And he said, why are you doing this? I am your God, and I love you. And those words changed my life forever. Because I realized that all this time that I've been telling him that he has done this and that he has done that and he hasn't been there with me, all this time, he was there with me. And all this time, it didn't matter whether I had a house or not. All it mattered was that I had a relationship with him. But I didn't look at that. I was looking in terms of material stuff. When in reality, it all comes down to being in a relationship with him. You know, I don't know how many of us grew up believing that we were going to be saved because we were Seventh-day Adventist. I grew up that way. I grew up hearing some people saying, yes, God is going to come to get the Seventh-day Adventist people. And at the end times, the Seventh-day Adventists are going to arise and stuff like that. And then I realized it doesn't matter what religion I am. It is good to come to church. It is good to have your belief established. But the building doesn't matter. Because when Jesus Christ died, what happened in the temple? The veil, I believe it's called, it just ripped. Keep in mind, on the other side, where nobody could walk in because they will die, was the presence of God. At that very moment when it tore, the presence of God was extended to everyone, everywhere. And that's something I didn't realize. So now God is with me all the time. And I'm not going to lie. I still have some times where I'm asking him, why are you letting this happen? And there's been many times that I'm crying on my bathroom floor. And I'm asking him to kill me because I'm not brave enough to do it for myself. And I'm so glad he didn't do it. I'm so glad he answers no to some of our prayers. Because my life is getting so much better. Because yes, I did lose a house, but now I live in the Thunderbird campus. I live in a house at Thunderbird. I went from living in a small garage where I could barely walk into having a house now. So all that time, he was just there looking at me saying, wait, just wait. And I was there telling him, why don't I see you working? And I was there telling him, why did you do this? Why don't you just finish my life already if that's what you want to do? Do I need to be this miserable for you to look at me? And all that time, he was there looking at me saying, wait, just wait. And I'm not going to lie, my life is still not perfect, but we will never get to a perfect point until we go to heaven. This last year, I realized that I grew up thinking that I had to go to church because I wanted to go to heaven. I had to pray because I want forgiveness, because I want to go to heaven. I have to do all these things and follow the commandments because I want to go to heaven. When in reality, it's not about that. I've come to the point where I don't care if heaven is real or not. This is the life that I'm living now, and I want to live it with God. Whether I die and I just stay dead, or whether I die and come back up and go to heaven, and even if I come back up and he says, I do not know you, my life will not have been wasted because I lived it with him. We have a crew over here of young men and a lady that attends TAA. And you see, sometimes as young people think we don't know what life is like. People think we don't know what love is like. People think we don't know what it is really like to experience Christ. When we do. You see, a problem that I've seen is that We see preachers up front saying how they used to be in gangs, how they used to do drugs, how they used to be in jail, how they used to do all these horrible things. And they say, and God changed me. But we as young people do not seem like we are allowed to commit a failure, because then the church looks down upon us and they're like, you're sinning. When we have people telling us that they were sinners and that they are still sinners. I want to invite you not to send your kids to TAA. No, don't get me wrong. Meaning that I do not only want to invite you to that. If you want to do it, go ahead, because they're going to have a wonderful time. But it is not necessary. But it is the best thing you could probably do for their education. The school is not going to change them, because the school is like a church. There's a whole bunch of little hypocrites wandering around campus. And there's a whole bunch of little kids who know about God and who know God. They're not very different to you. Same things that could happen in church, they will happen on campus. But ultimately, it is God the one that's going to change us. And I've seen some bad things on campus, and I've seen awesome things on campus. It is the best place you could send your kids to study. And they will be reminded of God every single day, for the most part, because our schedules. But I can tell you, they will be reminded. They will be reminded. And they will come to the point when they have to take the decision whether they want to keep on, you know, worshiping, and whether they want to keep on having that relationship or not. I want to invite you today to start building a relationship with God. I want to invite you to decide that you want to give your life again to Christ. I know it is hard. I know sometimes it doesn't seem like we need to, but we do. We need to die and be reborn every single day. Thank you.